Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, loggerhead sea turtle nesting season in Georgia has begun. A food bank in South Georgia rolls with the ebb and flow of community support, and Atlanta-based Coca-Cola was created on this day way back in 1886.
That was the year the Transcontinental Railway was finished. The world was a different place. You had to go stagecoach. But suddenly, this little company from Atlanta, Georgia, becomes a nationwide force.
Today is Friday, May 8th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. Georgia is now the headquarters for U.S. soccer. Leaders and athletes gathered yesterday for a ribbon cutting at the National Training Facility. GPB's Amanda Andrews reports.
The Arthur M. Blank U.S. Soccer National Training Center in Fayetteville will be the home for Team USA development, including the men, women, youth, and extended programs. The 200-acre facility includes 13 grass soccer fields, 2 turf fields, 2 sand fields, and several options for indoor play. Philanthropist Arthur Blank says he supported this project because he's seen the impact soccer has on youth.
The facility is a facility, but it's the hearts and the minds and the spirits of the young folks and younger being going on in age a little bit, being processed and having an opportunity to live their dreams.
U.S. soccer staff will move in May 18th, and the men's national team will start training there this month ahead of the World Cup. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
Georgia's nesting season for loggerhead sea turtles is on, with nests confirmed on St. Catharines and Cumberland Islands on Tuesday. Georgia Sea Turtle Program Coordinator Mark Dodd says the turtles' annual return to lay eggs on beaches along the southeast usually starts around the 1st of May. Nest counts vary season to season, but the loggerhead population has been increasing by about 4% annually since the early 1990s. 2 of the last 4 summers have exceeded the recovery goal of 2,800 nests a year. That's the target set in the National Marine Fisheries Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service recovery plan for the federally protected turtles. U.S. Representative Rich McCormick answered constituent questions at a town hall in Alpharetta yesterday. GPB's Sarah Callis reports.
Several constituents like John McKenna, who identifies as a Democrat, raised concerns about political division.
Doctor, can you please offer a prescription to defuse the rhetoric?
McCormick said division concerns him also.
This is one of the things that breaks my heart about politics. We can't have a discussion, and people are so busy trying to win an argument instead of trying to win a friend.
The town hall had increased security but was tame compared to McCormick's viral 2025 town hall, where he faced hundreds of angry constituents. This time the crowd was smaller, but he did see some pushback from both sides of the aisle about his answers to questions about immigration. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis in Alpharetta.
Grady Health System is planning a ribbon-cutting celebration Monday next week to mark the opening of its new freestanding emergency department. The Grady South Emergency Department will be open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and fully staffed by board-certified physicians, nurses, and other clinicians. Grady says it will significantly expand access to emergency health care in South Fulton County. The facility features imaging and laboratory services, a pharmacy, and staff support areas. A food pantry in South Georgia's Turner County has returned to distributing boxes of food on a weekly basis. Increased demand and a drop in donations forced Shepherd's Pantry in the city of Ashburn to temporarily drop to an every other Thursday schedule. Recently, I checked in with the volunteers who run the food pantry and those who rely on it to see how they've weathered the ebb and flow of community support.
Bread.
Thursday mornings are game day for Shepherd's Pantry. That's when trucks drop off pallets of food outside what used to be a middle school on Gilmore Street. Volunteers waste no time slicing through the plastic wrap so they can get to sorting the goods. In a few hours, the Shepherd's Pantry Thursday distribution will begin. Diane Saylor, the leader of this operation, surveys the line of people in cars stretched around the block. Then she turns to her team.
Let's get the potato chips in the boxes and let's get the line moving.
In the shade of a metal awning are 150 boxes. Each one is stuffed with bread, frozen chicken, cereal, pasta, and the day's special, cuties. The smell of citrus fills the air. This distribution day marks the return of a routine. The previous week, there wasn't enough food for a drive-through pickup.
See, we are independent. We are not backed by any church. nor do we receive any government funding. So our funding just got low and we just could not keep up.
As a result, March and April saw every other week distributions like this one. Shepherd's Pantry gets food from Second Harvest of South Georgia, the largest rural food bank in the state. It covers 26 South Georgia counties. Eliza McCall with Second Harvest says even on a good day, South Georgia has the highest rate of food insecurity in the state.
And it's been a long time since we have had a good, normal, average day when we weren't dealing with a pandemic or three hurricanes or wildfires. Now, government shutdown is just kind of been one thing after another.
Add in high gas prices, which burdens both Second Harvest and the people who rely on it, and you've got a whole system feeling the squeeze. Back at Shepherd's Pantry, 67-year-old Willie Washington waits his turn. He's close to the front of the line. He's got five grandkids to help feed, and he says the cost of everything seems to be rising.
Gas ain't cheap no more. It's getting higher and higher. And for with this food and stuff, it's a good thing we got this bank in at in Turner County, really. Yeah, he's up out of here.
Farther down the line are Mary and James Johnson. They came 15 miles from the city of Pitts. James used to be a truck driver, but he's disabled now and on dialysis, which requires 100-mile round trips to Albany three times a week. Mary says they borrow money to afford that travel.
My husband and I, he gets Social Security, I get SSI, and what we get pays the bills that we have to pay. And what little bit we got, what little bit we have left over might get us maybe a couple of groceries. Other than that...
Mary Johnson shrugs.
Come on up!
A volunteer calls the first car forward a little after 11. Drivers pull up slowly, pop their trunks, unlock their back doors, and volunteers drop in the goods. Families with children drive up a little farther for a box with extra sweets. Pantry founder Diane Saylor watches car after car drive off.
I know where all these people are coming from and how hard it is in life. And we all need somebody to pick us up now and then. And that's what I'm here for, to help pick anybody up that needs a pickup.
And then Saylor's attention will turn to next week, because she says the need is always here.
Come here.
Today marks 140 years since the first glass of Coca-Cola was served in downtown Atlanta. Coca-Cola debuted May 8, 1886 at Jacob's Pharmacy in Atlanta, where inventor John Pemberton mixed the syrup with carbonated water. In a previous interview with GPB, company archivist Ted Ryan said the Atlanta brand quickly spread across the country.
The world was a different place. You had to go stagecoach. But suddenly this little company from Atlanta, Georgia, becomes a nationwide force.
What began as a local soda fountain drink grew into one of the most recognizable products in the world. Ryan said Coke's distinctive taste and marketing turned it into a worldwide phenomenon.
By 1950, Coca-Cola is a truly global company, to the point that Time magazine actually put the Coca-Cola company on its cover, signifying that it was the first company that was global.
Today, Coca-Cola products are sold in more than 200 countries around the world. The Fox Theater is investing $1 million to help preserve two historic Georgia performance spaces. Through its philanthropic program, Fox Gives, the Atlanta Theater is awarding $500,000 grants to the DeSoto Theater in Rome and the Thomasville Municipal Auditorium in Thomasville. The funding will support renovations and safety upgrades at both venues. The Atlanta Braves face the Dodgers in Los Angeles tonight for the first of a three-game series. Chris Sale is expected to get the start for the Braves, who are currently playing without Ronald Acuna Jr. He's on the injured list with a hamstring injury. The Braves face the defending World Series champion Dodgers while being in possession of the best record in baseball, and while Dodgers star Shohei Ohtani is in the middle of a hitting slump. The Braves are not scheduled to face Ohtani on the mound this series, and that's where Ohtani has been outperforming nearly every other pitcher in the majors. Spencer Strider, who is still attempting a return to his former self after long stints on the injured list, is expected to get the start tomorrow. In other sports, the Atlanta Dream start their season on the road tomorrow against the Minnesota Lynx. They'll host the Las Vegas Aces for their home opener on Sunday, May 17th, and Atlanta United hosts the LA Galaxy tomorrow. Festival season in Georgia is a wonderful time to explore the state, whether you're learning new things about your neighborhood or discovering a whole new community you've never visited. Here is a short and admittedly incomplete list of festivals happening around Georgia this weekend. Acworth is hosting its 16th annual Smoke on the Lake Barbecue Festival. There's the Dalton Civitan Music Festival and the Ellijay Music Festival. Columbus hosts the Crossroads Folk Art Festival. There's the 50th annual Glenville Sweet Onion Festival, the Pavo Peacock Day Festival, and the Okmulgee Wild Hog Festival. Winterville will host its Marigold Festival, and in the city of Atlanta, you'll find the Sweet Auburn Spring Fest. And that's it for this edition of Georgia Today. If you want to learn more about any of these stories, visit gpb.org/news. And remember to subscribe to this podcast because we'll be back at you on Monday afternoon. And your feedback is welcome by email. That's the best way to reach us. Email georgiatoday@gpb.org. We hope you have a great Mother's Day weekend. I'm Peter Biello. We'll be back with you on Monday.